So I'm going to be chatting about rice production, and I'm going to be confining my talk to really the work that I've been doing in Texas. Although rice is grown both in the Mid-South area as well as in California, they are quite different production systems and environments. So I really appreciated seeing some of the other speakers' talks and the nice group of people that you have to work together. This is something I've been working on. I'm a breeder, and I've been working on it, kind of just bootlegging it, so to speak, for about 10 years. About 2 years ago, I started working with Rick Haney, who's a soil scientist, and then this past year, working with a plant pathologist with Texas A&M. Ming Chin is my colleague at ARS, and she's the cereal chemist. So what I'm going to be presenting today is just kind of an overview of a lot of the work that has taken place over a 10-12 year period. So what's going on in organic rice production? Well, there's just an increasing demand for this product every year. Some of the people I speak with, they say it's about a 20% increase each year. It's still a small market, but there's both a demand for brown rice, the milled rice, and also now the rice flour, which is being used as an ingredient and also being used to make some products like rice milk. The nice thing, of course, there's a premium associated with organically produced rice. That's what's attracted most of our growers, of course, is that the nice money associated with it. The other thing is it's always under contract production, so they're assured of a price and assured of the market at the end of the year. And one of the unique things in Texas is we have a lot of land that's been out of use, and this is related to the Farm Bill and the direct payments that go to landowners who are not farmers and that sort of thing. So anyway, in the rice production area, there's been a tremendous decrease in rice production in Texas. That means that there's a lot of land that can quickly go into organic production, so a lot of the farmers have been able to capitalize upon that. And of course, with the decreased input costs, that's also attracted some growers. So what we've been doing is, you know, really the questions we get from our farmers is, you know, they just need some basic information. You know, bottom line, how can we produce organic rice profitably? So one of the things I've been working on is looking at various sorts of organic amendments in terms of how they can affect production, ways to control weeds, different fertilizer inputs, and you know which ones are actually cost effective. And what we're seeing is because of the relatively low fertility that's available under our organic systems, we're not seeing the diseases that you typically see in a high input production system. But we are seeing other diseases that our farmers aren't that used to. And also, of course, as a breeder, looking at just of the varieties that are out there, which ones would be the best in terms of productivity for the growers. So this is just a summary of a study we did several years ago looking at 20 different cultivars under an organic system and then under a conventional system, but using half the recommended nitrogen and the full 100% of the recommended nitrogen. And we were getting, on average, about 80% of the total yield potential that we did under the conventional system. And of course, these are experimental plots and you know, about six rows wide by 20 feet long in a replicated trial. So you know, this is higher than what we see in the farmers' fields, but they are starting to get some really nice yields. I'd say that it's probably in the same range of about 80% of the conventional method. So in general, I guess what we've seen in these type of trials is, as some of the things that have been said earlier, we see weaker stands under the organic system, so we'd recommend a higher seeding rate. Because the plants tend to be a little bit nitrogen stressed, you can actually harvest the plants sometimes a little bit earlier. Or what I think is really the best thing is it gives you the opportunity to actually plant later maturing varieties and show later that, you know, I really think this is a strategy for accumulating more fertilizer over the growing season and actually get higher yields. Also, because of the low fertilizer availability, the plants tend to be shorter and less lodging, so you also have more flexibility in growing cultivars that would be otherwise lodging susceptible or taller. There's a problem with the milling yield tends to be lower. Here under organic, it's 53% versus the 100% in was 56%. And of course, that directly impacts the value to the farmer. And as I mentioned, we don't see necessarily this typical diseases we see in rice fields, but we are seeing some other ones that I'll be talking about. So this is another trial that we did this past year. And again, just looking at a variety of different cultivars that are available to growers and just shows, you know, there's wide variation in yield potential. And some of these that are have the really, I mean, this is a very high yield even under conventional management, 10,000 pounds per acre. And what this is a Chinese cultivar, which has, and as is this one, GP2, and this Rondo. And so what we're seeing is some of these Asian cultivars that haven't necessarily been very acceptable because of market certain grain quality characteristics, they have tremendous yield potential under an organic system. And I think this comes back to that they're just, you know, have greater vigor, bigger root systems, and generally have a little bit better overall disease resistance package. So anyway, there's just a wide diversity of cultivars that one could work with and maybe consider starting making crosses with. And what I call indica or Asian germplasm looks to have a lot more potential. And as I mentioned before, that we were getting some pretty good yields in our experimental plots. So another area that we've looked at is looking at different fertilizer, organic fertilizer products, and also looking at different rates of those products to try to give some recommendation to our growers if any of these would be better suited for rice production system. And this is a study where we look, this is just showing the extremes of the agri-recycle at zero rate of that, and then 150% of what they recommended, and likewise for NatureSafe and Rhizogen. And so this is looking at the total nitrogen after harvest of the crop. And so it's just showing that we only had a significant impact on nitrogen left in the soil with the highest rate of the NatureSafe and none of the others. And if we looked at the microbial activity of the soils using these same treatments, here I have a few more of the other ones that are listed, we saw no significant difference in microbial activity. Now, I will say that this was conducted on certified organic land, but this was the first time that we'd tried this trial. So, you know, it'd be possible that a farmer that had done this over a number of years, maybe, you know, things would be different. We also looked at some of these other products here, AgriRecycle, Maxim Compost, NatureSafe, Rhizogen, Top Organic, and True Organic. And these are their fertilizer levels. And what we did was we looked at different rates of applying these products based upon the NPK level of them in order to get a 0, 30, 50, and 130 units of nitrogen per acre. So we modified the rates of each of these to get that amount of nitrogen available. And so what we saw is that the NatureSafe product, we've seen this over several years, has the higher nitrogen content, and it's also giving us the highest yield response. So organic amendments with the higher end give the best yield, no surprise there. We had also done a study where we looked at some soil biological inoculants. We saw no effect due to those. At this, as I mentioned before, we didn't see much of effect of the soil microbial inoculants in terms of improving the fertilizer availability. And the NatureSafe product looked to be one of the better products, also leaving more nitrogen in the soil. We're also, because I do feel that the nitrogen availability under the organic system is really the limiting factor. And I guess this is what our farmers say, that if they don't have a weed problem, they think that fertilizer is the big issue. When they have a weed problem, of course, that's the only issue they think about. And so we've been looking at a number of different cover crops and green manure crops to see if we could improve the soil quality. And just to give you some pictures here, this is a mixture of Durana white clover and ryegrass. that we've looked at. Here's one of this Durana white clover, and this is the field seeded with the clover, and next to it just a fallow field. And this has just been an outstanding clover crop in this southeast area of Texas. You can just see it's a very dense stand. We don't have much weeds that come through, and it's just very robust in terms of different extremes in temperatures and rainfall. And this is all in a very heavy clay soil. So this is one that we're really very interested in. And this just says that also here, this is the second year of that after that. And there's a few weeds that are starting to pop up, but very good cover crop. We also looked at some summer green manure crops. So one is a sheer pass sorghum Sudan grass and a sugar gray sorghum Sudan grass. And also looked at a possibility of pearl millet. And so what we found is that we looked at just biomass at this point. And so we looked at the clover, ryegrass, clover, just ryegrass by itself, and black oats. And these were for winter cover crops. And so they were planted in about November, and then these are when they were terminated. So in this field here with the clover and the ryegrass, we terminated this because we needed to plant a rice crop. But with that only 120 days of growth, we got about 0.48 grams of biomass per day. But if you let it go further for like 227 days, really got very high biomass. And another one that looked interesting was the black oats. So in 162 days, we were getting about 100 a gram per day. When we looked at the summer green manure crops, and these were things that were planted in about July and then terminated in September. The ones that looked, and we also looked at it following cereal rye versus it following clover, and as would be no surprise, when you follow the clover, you get higher biomass production. But the sure pass sorghum was the one that did the best in our system. We also looked at the possibility of planting the rice either water seeded, so we terminated the clover, plowed it under, and then water seeded the rice, as compared to directly seeding the rice into a into the clover after it had been mowed. And so what we found was in that system, the yield was significantly lower than if you did plow down. And part of that is due to we have this disease, physiological disease called straight head, and a lot of these plots were affected by that. And so I think not only was it a perhaps tying up the nitrogen, but also we had this physiological problem which causes the panicles to be distorted and no grain formed. So in summary, the Durana white clover was excellent winter cover crop. We're also talking with some of our farmers about the possibility of having this in a two-year cycle. So you'd plant it in the winter, and then the following summer you could graze it with cattle because we have a pretty good cattle rice operation there. And then the second year would be when you'd plow it down. The black oats also looked pretty good, and for a summer plow down, the sure pass sorghum Sudan grass was very good. And as I mentioned, this direct seeding into the clover caused some problems that would have to be addressed. We also looked at some diseases. And brown leaf spot is not a disease that you commonly see in our rice fields. It's just not very often that you see it. But we did see quite a bit of it in some of our varieties. Sierra is one of the ones that I developed, so I'm glad to see it's really susceptible to this disease. But the good news is that there are other varieties here that, you know, are showing good signs of resistance to this disease, and this would affect not only yield but milling quality. And then another disease, narrow brown leaf spot caused by Cercospora, another disease that's not that common in regular production fields. We found some varieties that were extremely susceptible. I didn't develop this one, there's somebody else's, so I felt good about that. But anyway, this also just shows that there's, you know, choices out there for farmers to get around these diseases. One of the neat things that we found with the narrow brown leaf spot, the severity seemed to be very much related to the nitrogen availability. And so, again, if you're in a system where the organic, where they're a little bit nitrogen stress, that's when you're going to have the higher disease level. So it's going to be very important to make sure you have enough nitrogen to overcome that. Okay, thank you. So another aspect, switching gears, we wanted to look at some quality aspects. And we've actually published in some areas in terms of the grain quality, in terms of milling, processing, and cooking quality. But this was a study working with Ming Chen where we were looking at some the various phytochemicals and antioxidants that are in the rice bran. And so our question was, is there a difference between organic and conventional production in terms of the amount of these health beneficial compounds? And so we looked at seven different cultivars. We had most of them, of course, typical long grain rice or light brown bran. But there's also some rices that have colored brands, and we looked at two red ones. And then again, the conventional versus organic. And then these are the different compounds that were looked at. And so what we found was there are differences. These are the two red varieties, red brand varieties. And they had higher antioxidant activity than the brown rices, which is what we found in other studies also. But there's not that much difference between the conventional and the organic management for this antioxidant capacity, which is a measure of the ability of these compounds to have these health beneficial effects. And looking at the gamma arisanols, which is a vitamin E-related type of compound, again, didn't see any difference between the two different management methods, did see differences among the different varieties. Looking at the vitamin E's, same sort of deal, not so much between the different management practices, but some of the varieties were high. So just to summarize on the nutrition aspect, in other studies, we found that there's no difference in the organic versus conventional management and the amount of minerals that are in the grain and brown rice. We do find that there's decreased protein when it's under organic, and there's no difference in terms of these health beneficial compounds. We see generally a decrease in milling quality, a little bit whiter grain when it's milled, and that's likely due to it has a little bit more chalk. No impact essentially on cooking quality, and essentially no impact upon sensory quality. So in summary, the cultivars that we've looked at, it seems that the later maturing, high tillering, and taller cultivars have higher yield potential under an organic system. They essentially have a bigger factory or bigger source and can scavenge the nitrogen over a longer period of time, I think. We do see some atypical diseases are being observed, but it looks like we have materials that have good resistance that could be selected for using in organic. Depending on if the target market is for flour or for brown rice, I think you know we can overcome this issue of where the milling yield is a little bit lower. So, and that's certainly what some of our farmers are doing. You can get higher yield, but and avoid the problem with the lower milling. With that, I'll close, and I appreciate your attention this morning. Thank you.
There is time for one question, if there are any questions.
Yes, sir.
What's in that nature safe?
I was afraid you were going to say. What's in nature safe? Meat, yeast, and blood. Yeah, and I thought feather and chicken litter, and just about you know everything. Yes, sir.
Is the only difference between organic and conventional the nitrogen in there? Is the only difference nitrogen in the two treatments?
To me, the bottom line is it's all about nitrogen at this level in our studies. And that's in terms of not only the yield potential, the disease resistance, and also the grain quality. So I think that's the big bottleneck at this point. Yes, ma'am.
Are you doing dry or
wet
rice?
Am I doing what?
Are you growing in water?
Oh, yes. This is a conventional rice production in flooded
fields,
right. which really limits the ability to go in and till the field and that sort of thing. So, all right, thank you.
Thank you.